The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by AIB. We see brave and we're backing it through Brexit.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
Sticking with cities, New York has been suffering a lot during this pandemic. According to local officials, it's possibly on life support as 300,000 residents have moved out. So how can such a metropolis find its pulse again and persuade people that it's still a great place to live? Architect and presenter of RTE's Home Rescue joins me now. Roisin, I suppose the first thing, Roisin, is what is happening in New York. It's the things that we read are quite dramatic about changes that are taking place there.
I suppose it's not unusual. It's happened before in great metropolises in the time of disease that they kind of go through this period or this exodus. And New York is a wealthy city. People come there to do business. So you can't do business. You've got to shutter up and leave. So they're having what is a kind of the first time ever a decline in population since the 1970s. And they're also reporting a jobless rate at more than 12%. So apparently downtown is shuttered up, businesses, you know, like the coffee shops, all that buzz that you'd see on streets isn't happening. And also New York became a bit of a hotspot for COVID. We saw during the first rise in it that there was people being stretchered out, sent to hospitals. It was quite a dramatic scene and quite frightening. So people, especially the wealthy, decided, you know what, I'm going to do business elsewhere.
And the challenge then is how many of those patterns might endure when this is all over. So, yes. For example, a place like New York, something like 20% of the workforce worked in retail and restaurants and cultural events. And then there's the whole debate about the future of the office. So if lots of these tens of thousands of office workers don't return to the office, you know, could this become something that's more long-term damaging and a similar pattern in other cities as well?
Well, okay. First of all, it's happening. It's happened in history before. I mean, I think Henry VIII was up and down the Thames at the time of outbreaks of disease in the 15th century, and we've seen it in all over Europe. It's how we invented the surface of the road, for instance, came, you know, the asphalt, which we put on the surface of roads, was invented because people need to be able to clean down roads. Central Park came because of disease. So disease happens and cities adapt and change. David Brown was talking about it in the earlier section with you. So we have to be a little bit positive and think, wouldn't it be nice to get more people living in the city centre? But also it gives rise to this kind of back to what we saw in the 70s, say, which is the rise of the suburban dream, you know, where everybody
is
thought...
Is it coming back?
It feels like it might be. Well, they're saying it's coming back, right? It's definitely hip in the interiors. Richard, if you're down on your interiors, you know the 70s is all back in. Lots of rust, lots of crazy paving. But also this... In combination with the fact, so not just are we seeing jobless rates in New York, we're also seeing, out came yesterday, there's protests on the streets about people not being able to pay their rents. They're a year behind in rents. How are they going to make it up? So those people are kind of going, what's the point? I can't afford to get on the property ladder. I'm going to live in a house down the country and I'm going to sell online. As we've seen, there's a big emergence of that, particularly with people, artists, craftspeople. So there's a big burgeoning alternative world coming there going, I'm not getting on the financial sheets of some broker. I'm going to build my own dream down somewhere else. So suburbia is the first place because we all thought it wasn't hip in our generation. We were all wanting to live in town. We all, you know, and the tech industries all migrated right back into that city centre. So we're seeing what is known in urban design as a donut effect in the city. So the hollowing out of the city centre where all the tech industries were, where the wealthy are, and they're going, I want to go and live my country dream.
Now, you've said that it isn't necessarily new. If you look throughout history, the wealthy have often vacated cities at times of disease or pandemic. And sometimes the longer term outcome, it can lead to a better city, you know, around sanitation, around all those kind of things. Is this good then, if people are looking at moving out, is this good for towns?
It's exactly that, Richard. You've hit the nail on the head. It's really good for towns. It's really good for small business. And it's really good for, I mean, Ireland in particular, we are not great at suburbs. We have some very nice ones like Booterstown, Blackrock that were done in the 70s when the university UCD moved out and really established this anchor south side that we know so well. But But we have beautiful small towns, and the small town regeneration program hasn't been really taken off. You know, it's been struggling a bit. We had a lot of incentives with the last government, but now there's an opportunity. You'll see these vacant towns with beautiful old buildings, and there is infrastructure there. There is schools there. There is built architecture, but also there's a there. You know, where they're apparently in Roscommon, they saw a huge 100% increase in inquiries online to estate agents. So the opportunity to make in those built environments, and also I suppose. If the city is somehow a dangerous place,
back to safety, and
also the idea of quarantine. I think what we don't realise is quarantine was a really difficult thing for the poor and the lower middle class in those periods in Europe. It was a beggar's disease. The city was where the poor people stayed. They couldn't afford to move out. So the idea that the poor can afford to move out is a very optimistic thing. So we could have this regeneration, particularly with the advent of technology that we can all sell online. You know, why not? Why not live close to the sea and build your dream?
But even this conversation about towns back in 10 years ago, in the depths of the recession, we were so worried about the death of rural towns
this
in Ireland. And there was a whole question about jobs and what are people going to do? And people were moving out and moving to cities. It seems as if the conversation is just going in the opposite direction now because of the pandemic.
How do you mean?
Well, in the sense that we're all talking about more people are going to want to move to these rural towns and back down the country, and there's a whole change.
Well, I think we're very rural. I mean, Irish people, there's that line that apparently behind every successful business in Ireland is a granny from Connemara. Like, we are rooted in our rural origins. We all migrated to the city to support the business in the Georgian era when they left in the 1790s and abandoned Dublin. It became derelict. But that rural agricultural instinct in us is still very alive, I think. I mean, instinctively, I think I'd like to go home, have a horse, live near, you know, fish maybe. Now, unfortunately, I think anybody who's interested in education or university or things like that, that anchor, that desire to be on campus is a very important thing we have to protect. So our university town and the education of our young people is very important. But then again, they're doing it remotely. So we're looking at perhaps changing patterns of how we live, and not necessarily a bad thing, because Ireland is also culturally a very verbal country. We're kind of a written history.
So I think it probably suits us better. Roisin Murphy, architect and presenter of RTE's Home Rescue. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.